Of the Lord tonight. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us, be in the service tonight. Brother Brian, would you lead us tonight as we pray? Church, would you stand, join the choir tonight? Turn over to page number 139. Page 139, let's sing at Calvary.
Salvation's plan, oh, the grace it brought me down to.
Choir, you can be seated as well. What a great message this morning. Amen. And we are very thankful for the Lord allowing us the opportunity to be back here this evening. And please remember all of the prayer requests and folks going through some very difficult times. It was so good to see Brother Harold here this morning. Just please continue to lift him up in prayer. I spoke with him for a little bit this morning. He said, I tell you, I'm just so glad to be able to be back here in this place. And I know that he is. And Brother Harold, for you listening, we're very thankful for having you this morning. And we miss you tonight. But please remember, again, all the other prayer requests. Pastor will probably bring a few more of those to our attention in a few moments. But let's ask the Lord to be with us in the service tonight and pray his blessings on the offering as well as the service. Father, we love you. And Lord, how we praise you and thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we did have to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the message, the messenger. Lord, thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit that we felt in this place this morning. And Lord, we're asking you, Lord, for another touch from your hand tonight upon our pastor. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. Be with those that are sick and unable to be here with us. And Lord, some may be even traveling and just other reasons they couldn't be here tonight. Father, we just pray that you'd be with them. But now, Lord, we pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Give us a great night in your house, and we'll praise you. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you being here tonight. And been a good song service so far. I did ask Lily if she'd sing one this evening. And so she's going to sing You Pray for Her before we come around and preach.
Just hold on, there's a brighter day. He never against the wall, and you feel all hope is gone. If you walked in and asked yourself, is there a reason to go on? Well, he looks beyond your guilt and shame. You see his mercy, it takes the blame. So just forget about your past and praise the Lord, you're free at last. He never gave up, he never gave up. Mercy reached down, that was enough. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up.
A blessing. He never gave up. Thank you for that, Lily. And tell you, you imagine you'd have to have some wind to sing that song and all them fast words and phrases. But we appreciate that. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. And we probably won't preach an hour tonight, but we do have some things to say. And I kind of feel like everything is moving toward the cross tonight. Lots been said about the Lord, and lots been said about his sacrifice through music, and the Lord not giving up on us. And so we're going to kind of stick in that vein this evening. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the subject tonight. And then in just a few moments, we will read from Luke 23, verse 34. I want to kind of be a Bible drill tonight. So make sure your fingers are ready. Father, we love you tonight. We are so very thankful to be able to call you our Father, which art in heaven. Be with us for the next few moments. Lord, help us be benefited from your word. Let us be better from your word. Let us conform. Tonight, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. In the ministry, and also having worked in the funeral home business a while, I've been around death quite a bit. And when I worked at the funeral home, I didn't set out to work at the funeral home. It was just something that God had for us during that time. I've seen the sick hang on till everyone was present by the bedside and they passed away. Been around those who had been in extreme pain, their body wrecked, and just absorbing a lot of pain when they passed. And it's interesting to hear some of the dying's last words when it comes to death. Some people could probably testify of some loved ones who had last words when they passed. And for some, There's happy words. And for others, there may be some disturbing last words. And I want to give you a short list tonight before we actually share the message. But just a short list of some famous people in their last dying words. First of all, there's Beethoven, the German composer. Ludwig van Beethoven is his name. And his last words were these: "Friends, applaud. The comedy is over." This one-liner was typically used to end one of his performances. He died in the middle of a thunderstorm on March 26, 1827, after a long illness. 2 days after his death, souvenir hunters were snipping off locks of his hair, of his famously wild hair. They were caught doing that, all back in 1827. "Friends, applaud. The comedy is over." And then there's the dying words, the last words of Winston Churchill, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And Winston Churchill, he was considered one of the greatest wartime leaders. These were his last words: "I'm bored with it all. I'm bored with it all." That was his last words recorded, and then he died. We know that Winston Churchill, he encouraged the British to never give up. So as you can see, there are some who have just different last words of their dying day. And then we see Bob Marley, the reggae legend. He uttered these last words to his son before he died: "Money can't buy life." He died of cancer at the age of 36 years old, Bob Marley. Listen to what Lucille Ball said. Some of you know who that is. Lucille Ball, actress. On her dying day, her last dying words were these: "My Florida water. My Florida water." This was what she asked when she was asked if there was anything she needed. She says, "I want my Florida water." And then she died, Lucille Ball. What about John Belushi when he died? Famous actor. Here's what he said after he injected that fatal dose of drug that killed him. He said, "Just don't leave me alone." And then he died. Last but not least, there is the musician Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain took his life in suicide, and he had a suicide note that was left behind. And the suicide note said this. His last words were, "It's better to burn out than to fade away. Better to burn out than fade away." Again, some of these last dying words and some last words of people, some are actually can be comical. Others are sad, and some actually have no point at all. It's just their last words that were said. Tonight, I want to share with you the last words of Jesus. And there are 7 sayings of Christ that he gave when he was upon the cross. And let us take to heart these words. I want to try to apply these sayings to our lives today. So tonight, the message is the last words of Christ. Number one, the first last words of Christ, the first saying, is found in Luke 23:34. Notice what he says in Luke 23:34. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." This was the first set of last words of Christ. On the cross, before he died and was buried, "Father, forgive them." And these last words were famous because It had to do with forgiveness. And so even in the on the cross when Jesus was dying for the sins of the world, he showed us and gave us a message on forgiveness. Those that beat him and those that scourged him and those that put him upon that cross and nailed his hands and feet, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So here we have a message of forgiveness. Jesus forgave, so we are to forgive tonight. The Bible says that love covereth a multitude of sins. And tonight, if you have been forgiven, you have accepted the forgiveness of Jesus. If there's anyone in your life who has offended you, it is your duty to forgive them as you have been forgiven. I like what Galatians chapter number 6 says. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Listen to this. When it comes to those who are living in sin or caught in a fault. That's a good title. Caught in a fault. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What I like in that verse, number one, is that Paul talks about the ministry of restoration. When someone is caught in a fault, when someone is overtaken in a fault, a sin, a lot of people love to put them on the forefront of the church and say, "This is what you don't do. Now get out of the church." And I don't think it's supposed to go that way. In fact, I know it's not supposed to go that way. Because Paul is teaching here the ministry of restoration. He says, if there's a man that's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are mature in the faith, restore such a one. And here it is, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so what I see also in this verse is, we're to consider one another and to know that we're not beyond sin. And to know that just because someone over here is caught in a fault, that doesn't mean that we can't be overtaken in a sin. That means that we can't, it doesn't mean that we can't be overtaken in a fault. And so we are to forgive one another for our faults and for our failures and focus on the ministry of restoration. We do this because we consider ourselves. We consider ourselves. So tonight we forgive. We choose forgiveness. Have you been offended before in life? Have you been offended by someone in church? Have you been offended by someone in your family? Has someone close to you offended you? Then forgive them. Forgive them for Christ's sake, because He has forgiven you. Again, keep afresh in your mind, in mine, my mind, that love covereth a multitude of sins. And so tonight we see the first set of words that Jesus had upon the cross before He died and was buried, and that is, "Father, forgive them." But in the same chapter, back in Luke 23, in verse 43, listen to this. Luke 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And of course, we know that this is a message, even when Jesus was down on the cross, it was a message of salvation and forgiveness. Our Church of Christ friends like to believe that Jesus just made an exception for this man's salvation here, because they believe that water baptism is essential for salvation. And unless you get baptized, you will not go to heaven. And so one time I was talking with someone, a Church of Christ, a person who went to a Church of Christ. and believe that way. And I said, what about the thief on the cross? What about the man who said, Father, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And what about when Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise? He said, well, God just made an exception. And immediately what came to my mind was this. I said, well, Mr., God is not respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. There is one way to heaven, and it's through not works that we have done, but through the cross. It's a free gift, not of works. I said, it's through faith in Christ. And by the grace of God, someone gets saved. And so we see, though, that this saying of the Lord was about salvation. He allowed this man to enter in because he knew that this was the Christ, the Messiah. And so this was the second saying. And we know that salvation tonight is instant. We know that salvation tonight is a gift. Salvation is eternal. And praise the Lord that he opened up this new and living way upon the cross. Upon the cross. John 19. This is the third saying. I got to kind of mention these and go, or we'll be here for a while tonight. John 19 in verse number 26 and 27. Listen to this. This is the third saying. John 19, 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So this saying had to do with commitment. And it was Jesus' earthly mother whom he cared for, who raised him. But now he was going on to fulfill his father's plan. And so he committed his mother to one of the faithful. One of the most faithful. It was John who was part of that inner circle. It was John who was close to the Lord. In fact, you can see as verse number 26 is mentioned, John being the writer, how he actually speaks of himself. He speaks in humility. Notice he says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, and John is writing about himself and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He didn't even mention his own name because John was a humble man. John was a man of humility. He was a man who was faithful to the Lord and who was always by his side, part of that inner circle. And so this particular case, it was Jesus' words from the cross, and he was getting ready to, again, fulfill this plan of his father, and he committed his mother to the faithful. That's what we need in ministry. And I thank God for those who serve here at Calvary, the ones that are faithful to stand up and lead choir and choir practice and Sunday school, all the Sunday school teachers and all the classes that we have, those in the nursery. Amen. Nursery workers. I think some of the most overlooked people in the church are the nursery workers. Those who faithfully go down there week in and week out so that mom and dad can sit up in the service and be part of the service to worship the Lord. It's the faithful that we need. And I'm glad on this particular occasion, Jesus called upon John, and John wrote these particular verses, and it shows humility. Humility and faithfulness is what we need to serve in the church. That's the kind that God uses. He uses those who are good stewards of the grace of God, those who are good stewards. Show good stewardship. They are faithful. They are humble. So that's what that's who the Lord uses tonight. Now, turn over to Mark. back to Mark. Rewind back to Mark 15. There's the fourth. Last saying of Christ on the cross. Mark chapter number 15. All right, verse number 34. I can get there. Mark 15:34. He says, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" We see here that this particular occasion when Jesus was on the cross, we see the human side of the God-man expressed. We see the human side, Jesus, in his humility, he asked God, "Why? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He knew ultimately God had not forsaken him, but because he was deposited in human form and flesh, because he was the God-man, and because he was forsaken by many, and because he was on the cross bearing the sins of the world, at that particular moment he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The weight of sin was upon his shoulders. It was the darkness of the moment. It was the flesh in trouble. Yet Jesus, still committed to the Father's plan, in a moment where he felt the flesh, the world, the weight of sin upon him, cried out, a moment of darkness. So this was another saying upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I want to say this and I want to move on. I may be a little hesitant to say it, but just catch what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of people who say, "I never question God," and praise the Lord for you. Sometimes we may not question God audibly with our lips, but there may be times where we ask God. There should be times actually when we ask God, "What's going on, Lord?" James says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to man liberally and upbraideth not." In other words, we can go to God and he will not taunt us when we want to know why some things are happening in life. And so there's some who say, "Oh, you never ask God why," but at the same time, and in like form, there's times in life where I, Justin Hales, do not know what's going on. And I come before God and I may not say, "I know God hasn't forsaken me," but I do at times ask God, "What's going on, Lord? I need wisdom for the way. Lord, I need some insights here." And really what it boils down to is the weakness of our flesh and the darkness of the hour we're in, crawling up to the throne room of grace and asking God. Some may ask God why, some may ask God, "Well, what's going on?" However we phrase it, tonight the Son of God asks why. "God, why have you forsaken me?" Ultimately, he knew that God had not abandoned him, but it was a weak moment. It was a weak moment that he felt for us. And because he felt this weak moment, we have a high priest who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, we can go into his presence and he understands why. He knows what it feels to be in darkness. He knows what it feels to feel the flesh boil up in a time of trouble. Jesus knows why. And so tonight we can crawl up in his lap and say, "God, give me some wisdom for the way. Lord, I'm lacking understanding." And so we see this one of the last sayings on the cross here. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, back to John 19. John 19, verse 28. We're going to look at another last thing. John 19 and verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. This would be the fifth saying upon the cross. And Jesus said, I thirst. But let's keep on reading for just a second. He said, I thirst. Verse 29. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Just indulge me for a second while I try to share something with you here. Jesus was on the cross. He was thirsty. Here the one who gives living water was thirsty. And so one of the Roman soldiers filled the sponge with vinegar and gave it up to his mouth and he sopped it. It was bitter. And then he said, it is finished, and he died. But then on the third day, he rose again. This is the picture I want you to see here. We have a bitter ending, but a beautiful beginning. Sometimes along the journey, we have bitter endings. But if we are where we should be, and we are trusting the Lord with all of our heart, although there may be some bitter endings, there's always a beautiful beginning. I know by experience this is so. I shared some of our testimony this morning after salvation, at being in the ministry, and how God can bring beauty from ashes and how He can totally change things if we just trust Him. Jesus on the cross said He was thirsty, and so they gave Him that sponge filled with vinegar, and it was just a bitter last taste. But on that third day, He rose again. Some of you tonight, there may be somebody watching on Facebook tonight who is going through a bitter experience. And I say to you, stick it out with the Lord, because He has a purpose for those bitter experiences. I say this often, but I feel like I do anyway. I want to say it again. Remember Moses coming out of Egypt, his Exodus, children of Israel, leading them. They make it through the Red Sea. God showed His power. And then they were thirsty. And the people told Moses, Moses, we're thirsty. I'm paraphrasing here. Moses, we're thirsty. We're thirsty. And so they come to Marah. And they attempt to drink the waters of Marah. But they couldn't. You want to know why? Because those waters were bitter waters. They were bitter waters. And then the people, they murmured to Moses and complained to Moses, Moses, why in the world would you lead us out of Egyptian bondage to only get way out here in the middle of nowhere, be so thirsty, and then to drink the water, it is bitter. Moses cried unto the Lord. That's the best thing to do in any life circumstance, to cry unto the Lord. Moses, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. It's my little tree. He showed him a tree. And when the tree was cast into the waters, those bitter waters were made sweet. Look, this is imagery. Imagery. This is a shadowing of the cross. That when the cross is applied to bitter experiences, there's just some way that God works in the equation where He knows how to make bitter experiences sweet. Bitter experiences, sweet. Have you been there before? Been in some bitter experiences? Didn't know what you was going to do, but you knew you were just trusting God. And God, you crawled into your prayer closet and you say, Lord, I just don't know what to do. But then you feel in your heart and you hear through your ears of faith, God is saying, give it to me. Give it to me. Cast your burden. Moses was told to cast that tree into the waters. Jesus, New Testament, is saying, cast that burden upon me and I'll sustain you. There may be someone here tonight that needs to have a bittersweet experience. You may need to reflect back on the cross where Jesus sopped from the vinegar-filled sponge and died, and then yet 3 days later rose from the grave. You might need to reflect on that a little bit to know that Jesus can cause a resurrection out of your situation. And if I didn't know that for sure tonight, I wouldn't be standing here preaching, because I've been in need of so many resurrections in my life. And I know you have too. Let's move on. And so the fifth saying of Christ was, I thirst. And then we're here in John 19. Notice again, we just read a moment ago, but verse number 29 and 30. The sixth saying, it is finished. It is finished. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. The sixth saying upon the cross, it is finished. Now this wasn't a saying like Beethoven, Bob Marley. These were not sayings like Kurt Cobain and all of the rest, or John Belushi. This was a saying of Jesus. He said, I have finished salvation's plan. Let me tell you this tonight. He finished. There's three finishes in the Bible. In the beginning, he finished the creation. On the sixth day, he finished. It was finished and it was beautiful. The seventh day, he rested. It was finished upon the cross, salvation. He completed the Father's plan. It is finished. And then there's coming a day in the book of Revelation where there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that will be the third finish, where everything is finished from creation and to revelation, everything done, wrapped up, it is finished. It's done. He completed the Father's plan. He finished the Father's plan. Let us reflect off this and finish our Father's plan, whatever God has called you to do. God has certainly called those of us who have kids, we are certainly called to be parents, and we need to finish being parents. Once upon a time, I thought finished being a parent was like 18 or 20. I remember one time Brother Berman said, son, you ain't done being a parent till your toes are turned up. And I took a minute to really understand what he was saying, but he was talking about morgue dead. You're always going to be a parent. I'm always going to be a parent, and I joy in that, but let us finish being the kind of parents we need to be, the spouses we need to be. Two people coming together forever. If you have problems in your marriage tonight, I got a football here of grace and truth. Work that thing out. You've got problems in your marriage tonight? Work it out. You got problems being a parent tonight? Work that thing out. Don't give up on your spouse tonight. If you truly believe that God has given you a spouse and you know that God has put you together, let not man put asunder. Work it out. If there's some spats and difficulties and some arguments that you can't seem to get over it. Sometimes our children are more parents than the adults are. Let it be said of you. Let it be said of me. My last words, it is finished. I tried to be the dad that I could be for God's glory. I tried to be the husband I could be for God's glory. It is finished. I tried to be the pastor that God wanted me to be. It is finished. There may be some here tonight that needs to pick up the parts and get back to working. It is finished. And you can apply that in so many ways. Let me mention the last one. And I left off the end of this verse on purpose. But if you turn back to Luke 23. Luke 23. The seventh saying of Christ. Verse number 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. This was the conclusion. It was the conclusion. He, of course, we read the Gospels in harmony, and we know that what he said just a moment ago, Eli, Eli, my God, my God, why has thou forsaken me? It is finished. But then there was the actual giving up of the soul. Now, I'm not going to go off the deep end right here, but I am going to say a couple of things and we're going to be done. This verse within itself proves, we've been talking on Wednesday nights about defending your faith. And we've been talking about, under that umbrella, cult religions for the past 2 weeks. We've been looking at Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe the soul is separate from the body. They believe when you die, you're dead. Soul sleep. If you haven't earned your way to paradise, if you're not one of the 144,000, you're to be annihilated, which means endless soul sleep. You will never open your eyes again. That is so sad, isn't it? So many places in the Bible, it speaks of the body, soul, and spirit being separate. And Jesus here, again, says, Father, into thy hands I commend, I commit, I deposit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Well, we know that his body went and to a borrowed tomb. We know that. But this is an instant where it again proves the separation of body, soul, and spirit. Now he deposited his spirit, his soul, into the hands of the Father. We know that. And this bears that out, the separation of body, soul, and spirit. And also, and listen, I don't fully understand it. And so, therefore, I can't fully explain it. But I do know this. While Jesus' body was in the grave, for 3 days he was busy. The soul aspect of Jesus was busy. I stand corrected if I'm wrong. But as much as I've studied this, this is the way that I feel the Bible is speaking. When Jesus died, his body physically went into the grave. And so what was he doing for 3 days? The Jehovah's Witnesses said he was asleep. He was inactive. He was doing nothing. Well, the scriptures in many, many places, we don't have time tonight to go into it. But we know that he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And before the cross, those who died in the Lord, now follow me closely, it's called Hades. And there were two compartments in the lower parts of the earth, Hades. There was the torment side and the paradise side. And so Jesus, in Ephesians, it talks about it, that Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. Of course, there is the story of the rich man Lazarus in the book of Luke. And he led captivity captive. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he released those from paradise, brought them to heaven. And of course, we know that those are still in the torment side. And so he did that on his 3 days in the grave. But then as well, Jesus gave gifts unto men as he was resurrected and came and ascended back to the Father. He descended, led captivity captive, and then he ascended back to the Father after the resurrection, and he gave gifts unto men during that time. If you teach a class here, it's not by your own ability. If I preach, it's not by my own ability. If you are a giver, it's not because you have great qualities. If you serve around here doing all kinds of things with joy and gladness, it's not because, you know, of you per se, though we're very thankful of you. But God gives gifts unto men and women. Some he gives the gift of mercy. You ever met somebody that's just so merciful? They're always forgiving everybody. God gives gifts of giving. Some give. They just love giving. They're cheerful givers. Some they serve and they're just there to help. We don't have time to go into all that tonight, but God has given gifts unto men and unto women. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses are absolutely wrong when they say that he was silent. When he died upon the cross, his last saying was this. Notice what it says. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit." This shows his dependence upon God. His submission to do and finish his will. He deposited his spirit in the Father's hand, separated from his body, and went to work in the grave. Demolished death, hell, and the grave. Gave gifts unto men. That's our Lord tonight. That's our Lord. And that's what he did. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He poured out his life as an offering to God. Tonight, as we wrap this up, I wonder if we would continue to do the same. Maybe there's someone that has been struggling with being all in for God. Maybe tonight you need to pour out your life as an offering for what he's done for you, for everything, for Christ going to the cross, purchasing our salvation, getting busy when he was in the grave, and then everything he achieved, and then being rose again, ascending back to the Father. Maybe some of us need to adopt the same thing and just pour out, "Lord, into thy hands I commit my life." As they come tonight, whatever we may have as far as invitation, again, we have the seventh saying on the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." As much as I can see, there's seven. And again, this isn't Bob Marley. This isn't Kurt Cobain. This isn't Lucille Ball we're talking about. This isn't John Belushi. This is Jesus. And he has some last sayings. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, I pray this evening that, Lord, that maybe our love for you, I mean, it started in the song service and then the message tonight about your love on the cross. Maybe, Lord, our love for you has been rekindled. I hope it has. I know mine has. God, we're getting ready to launch out into the deep, Lord, this old world, where there's real Mondays and real Tuesdays and real battles and real challenges among your people tonight that they are facing, I pray tonight for resurrection power among the brethren, among the sistern, Lord. Let us all leave this place tonight with a renewed spirit in God that Jesus paid it all. And that He's the one we owe our lives to. Thank You for Your goodness, Your love, and Your kindness. Thank You for meeting with us today. Be with us in this time of invitation, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.